Want to, oops. Morning, everyone. Today's Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. This is a regular meeting of the Los Angeles Board of Police Commissioners. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Good morning. Let the record reflect Commissioner Soboroff, Figueroa Villa, Kim, and Saltzman are present, and we have a quorum. Number one on the agenda, commission comments.
Commissioner Saltzman? No, let's go ahead.
Item number two on the agenda, report of the Chief of Police, Chief Beck.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning, Chief.
Thank you. Very briefly, this weekend we policed the Academy Awards without incident. We policed a civil rights demonstration, Black Lives Matter, off Martin Luther King Boulevard that ended in Leimert Park. We also dealt with a security threat announced by Department of Homeland Security relative to our malls. And we increased our patrols in that area, including foot beats and highly visible uniform resources. Of particular note, we had after two difficult weekends with gang-related shootings, we had a weekend where we only recorded two shooting victims, both of which were gang-related, but a significant drop from weeks previous. So some of the deployment strategies that we're using appear to have been effective. So that's a positive note. On the other side of it, we still struggle with an increase in crime compared to last year. Violent crime is up 26.6%, and property crime is up 8.9%. Aggregate is a part one increase of 11.8%. To give that some context, it's a 6% increase over 2013, which ended up being a better year than 14. So we are still early in the year, but we are concerned about this, concerned about the effects of Prop 47, concerned about a number of issues that impact crime, but we'll be able to report more on that as we move forward. All of our four bureaus show an increase, with the lowest increase in the Valley and the highest increase in Central Bureau. Gang crime is also up in several categories, and total gang crime is up about 11% compared to 14, down about 1% compared to 13. So as always, I ask that we view these things in the context of a greater span of time. Traffic, total traffic accidents are up about 12%. However, serious traffic accidents, those involving hospitalization or death, are down 23%. Hit and runs, which have been a focus of the department in the city, are down 6.7%. And serious hit and runs involving hospitalization or injury are down 43%. Motor vehicles versus pedestrians are down, and serious motor vehicle versus pedestrian accidents are down 8.7%. Bicycle-involved traffic accidents are down significantly, especially in the injury category, down about 80% in significant injuries, and about 3% about 15% in total accidents. We have 9,906 Los Angeles police officers on payroll. We have 2,616 civilian personnel. We have about 450 reserve officers, 373 specialist volunteers, 62 chaplains, and a cadet corps of 6,074. And that concludes my report.
Chief, do you have any updates on the horrible train accident? Or I know we have a lot of officers and people who work for the department and for the city that live up in those communities. Have you got any reports?
Immediately upon finding out about the accident, about 6 this morning, I sent Assistant Chief Sandy Joe MacArthur to the scene. Obviously, that train was inbound to Los Angeles. We were concerned that we might have city employees on board, as well as people whose destination was the city of Los Angeles and might need assistance. She's providing that. We have not found any city employees yet who were on the manifest. That train was early in its route. Most of the employees are picked up a little further in than that. Of course, you know, all of this brings up painful memories of the Chatsworth, the extremely horrific Chatsworth train accident. where 25 people were killed, including a Los Angeles police officer, Spree Deshe. So Sandy Joe is still out there, still coordinating for the city of Los Angeles, but at this point, we're not aware of any city personnel that were on that train at the time of the crash.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. We do have one public comment card. We have Mr. Ted Hayes.
Do any of you know what the Alameda Corridor is? No hands? It's where they put a freight train underground. No one ever has to cross those tracks. A freight train. In modern times, all trains should be underground, overpass, whatever. Then we won't go through these events. Understand, hundreds of people can be injured and killed in a train accident. I brought that to your attention a couple of weeks ago about the fact that we have a Crenshaw train running at grade only because it's cheaper to do it that way. Less money. Money is more important than lives. We know that. Chief, I mentioned some time ago that we conduct our internal affairs interviews in the lobby of the movie site, the Bradbury Building. You can either stand in the lobby or you can sit on the bench next to a statue of Charlie Chaplin. I also pointed out we did conduct our interviews with the district attorney's office in the hallway on the 17th floor. So last week we found out that we were being rescued by finding a place to conduct our interviews on homicides. I'm going to look at the memorandum associated with that item and see if I can find out what the department was doing prior to that. Where were the interviews being conducted? Because even now,
29 seconds.
An improvement is based upon someone stepping in with money to make the improvement. It was never a part of the department's activities or concerns to have a place to interview people relative to homicides. That seems very astonishing to me, and I want to find out what's happening, and I hope the press gets a hold of it and makes a report on it. Thank you.
Thank you. We're now on item number 3, the report of the executive director, Mr. T. Fang.
Morning, Mr. President, members of the commission. No report today.
Item number 4, the report of the inspector general, Mr. Bustamante.
Thank you, commissioners. Same as the Mr. T. Fang, no report as well.
Thank you. Item number 5 consists of information items and filed items relative to noise variances and special event permits submitted for the period ending February 20th, 2015. Item number 6, presentations. Are there any presentations?
None today.
Thank you. Item number 7, consent agenda items. These items are considered to be routine and non-controversial, upon which the board is provided with adequate information for approval without inquiry or discussion. Would a commissioner wish to pull an item as special for discussion?
I need to recuse myself on 7C.
I move to
go for all of them.
Yeah, move to approve items 7A through D.
Second, with thanks to the donors on C and D. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
We can call Commissioner Saltzman back in.
We need to call the item first.
We rejected the one you recused. Item number 8. Oh, I'm sorry.
Item number 8, regular agenda items. 8A is a verbal presentation. Would the commissioner wish to pull an item as special for discussion? 8B?
No, I move to approve item 8B.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The verbal presentation, 8A, are we going?
8A, verbal presentation and update from the Commanding Officer and Community Police Advisory Board, CPAB representative regarding community-initiated problem-solving, crime strategies, and other programs and goals within the Van Nuys area.
Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Police Commissioners. Chief, Mr. T. Fink, Inspector General. My name is Lillian Carranza. I'm the area commanding officer of Van Nuys Division. And seated to my left here is our Community Police Advisory Board President, Mrs. Penny Myers. She's been a resident of Los Angeles, specifically in Van Nuys, for over 40 years, involved in CPAP for over 20, And this is her second tour as the president, and she will be addressing you today and sharing some of the programs that we have implementing.
Wonderful.
We have five very, very active committees.
Is there a microphone?
Yes, sure. We're getting it.
We have five very active committees. We have start our homeless committee. We have toured this past year three homeless facilities because with CD6 with Nuri Martinez's office, because we have so many homeless because they're let out of the Van Nuys jail and they kind of end up in Van Nuys. So we're working hard to see if we can't get some programs implemented for the homeless there. We also, with CD2, we had a problem with one of the nonprofits, so we did a dispute resolution, and that Lutheran Social Services has chosen to leave the area because there were so many calls for services with LAPD. It was becoming a problem location, and it was not for the better good of Van Nuys. And we've also collaborated with the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. I love working with them because they really get the people out to our summit. So we had a homeless summit a couple of months ago and had about 300 people. And then we have our sex trafficking committee, which is just up and running because we have a terrible problem on Sepulveda Boulevard. So we are working with Nuri Martinez. We are working with Paul Krikorian's office and Adrienne Nazarian's office and the VICE unit to come up with some solutions because it's a huge problem in our community within the neighborhoods. We have a teen CPAB that currently has 13 kids. It's pretty new, but they're awesome. They even went out and bought their own brooms. We've done, they cleaned up the animal shelter. They went to a Dodger game. They're teaming up with my committee, which is blight abatement, and they went out. We gave letters to all the businesses because they were putting stuff on the sidewalk, and those kids were the translators for the officer. So it's pretty awesome. And then they worked the movie night with Nuri Martinez during the summer, setting the chairs, feeding all the 400 people that came, and doing cleanup. And I'm very, very proud of them. And then we have my blight abatement committee, which works with the senior leads on different areas that need cleaning. And I noticed when I worked downtown, and I ran into one of the senior leads who was ticketing one of the businesses for all the junk on the sidewalk, which becomes a liability. So he gladly handed me the municipal codes. I turned them over to our senior lead, and she ran with it. And our sidewalks have never been cleaner and look nicer, although a blight is off the sidewalks, and I'm so happy because that's my passion. We have emergency preparedness, which has done Map Your Neighborhood. They have 120 homes mapped, which means in an emergency, all the neighbors have a job to do. And we've teamed up with Home Depot. So every time they do emergency preparedness, our emergency preparedness committee assists them. We are doing a huge summit with the neighborhood council. We've already done one, and we're doing one now valleywide. So to prepare the community. And then we have our technology committee, and they pretty much film all of our events, take pictures of the blight, the before and the after. We're on Facebook, we have a CPAB website, and we're going to be Twitter trained. So if there are any questions, I'd be very happy to answer them.
Chief Pasinger is a very good Twitter trainer, right, Chief?
That's who told us we had to be Twitter trained.
I have a question for you. How many members are on your CPAB?
We have currently about 30, but I'm trying to get it to 25 because five of them aren't really very active, and I want it's easier to manage.
And tell me about the diversity of your CPAB and what you're striving to.
We're pretty diverse. We have Armenians, we have African Americans, we have a Persian, Caucasian,
Hispanic.
So you
feel like
Hispanic.
The community is well represented?
Yes, I do.
And reflected? And tell me about your...
Now we have a Hispanic captain.
Female.
Female, I might add.
I watched the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me this on your homeless issues. Tell me what I understand that it's a big issue. What are your goals? I mean, what are you trying to do,
well,
and how are
I
you helping?
I think we're trying to work with the council offices, both CD2 and CD6, mm-hmm. on implementing some programs, because a lot of the churches tend to give out food, which is great, so they all hang around, but they don't offer programs to assist them with mm-hmm. alcohol and drug abuse, mental health issues. So that's a really big problem that needs not just food, but all the other issues that go with that.
Great. Questions? Commissioner?
Hi. Thanks for your work. The Sex Trafficking Committee, what are the strategies that the community have implemented or tried so far?
We're brand new. Okay. Within the last 4 months and then the Christmas holiday, but we're meeting with Assemblyman Nazarian to talk about maybe some new legislation. We work very closely with Nuri's office because this is in her district, and this is something she's passionate about. So we're just getting off the ground. So I don't have a lot to say. We have a very strong committee, but I'll let you know next year, or somebody else will.
Any other questions? Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
We do have one public comment card. We have Mr. Ted Hayes. And it will beep at 1 minute and then at 30 seconds for some reason. But go ahead.
You probably noticed I'll refer to officers in the masculine, he and him. And I'm an old guy, and that's the way we were raised, to use a masculine term for human beings. I can't break myself of that habit. I'll try. A couple of weeks ago, there was a call-out of the women on the commission to be more forthcoming, more vocal. Those of you who were here remember that. Those of you who were not here should listen to the tape recording. Because it pointed out that there had been a change in the makeup of this police commission over the years. It used to be all boys club. Now it's predominantly a female thing. On the agenda, the women police officers are having a meeting, $35,000 being appropriated for that particular reason. And I'm pleased to see that all that I see is that the LAPD has done an excellent job at integrating and promoting women in high position, as you can see here now. That's welcome. Hollywood's having a problem. They claim that women don't get a good contract in Hollywood. Is that true? That the guys get more money. So I think the department at least is reflecting an improvement. That's welcome. I'm sure the women appreciate that. I don't know why they're getting together or having a meeting. There might be something beneficial or sinister in women getting together, but we'll get a report on that later on. Thank you.
Thank you for those words, Mr. Hayes.
There are no other public comment cards on this item.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We're now on item number 9, public comment period. We have 11 cards. And the first three, Ted Hayes, Jamie Garcia, and Sal Shama. And again, the timer will beep at 1 minute and then 30 seconds left on the timer.
I'm going to dwell on this ability to have a place where we can meet and when we want to file a complaint against the department. I received a letter about my food situation. And it was ridiculous. I won't bother to read it, but it simply didn't even indicate that it was a situation I experienced in jail. It simply said I didn't get the proper diet. What does that mean? Anyway, the Bradbury is an excellent place. It's a historical landmark, but it's not necessarily designed to conduct police affairs. It simply isn't. And the lobby is not the best place. I haven't heard any response about that. I still am interviewed in the lobby of the Bradbury on a bench next to the statue of Charlie Chaplin with people taking pictures and coming to tours. It's a tourist attraction. And it seems to me that any commanding officer would recognize that this is inappropriate. It's not only undignified, unsecure. It just doesn't really make much sense. But as I pointed out, I can't understand why Lacey does it that way either, except it seemed to be a general air of contempt and disrespect for people in high offices who deal with the public that's in distress, having problems, when they come to them. It's dismissive from the beginning. If you're in a lobby, sitting on a bench, in a hallway, sitting on a bench, discussing your complaint, your concerns, that's certainly improper.
Jamie Garcia.
Good morning. My name is Jamie Garcia. I'm with the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition. You were given a letter, I think just now, from the coalition. This letter comes from basically an exhaustion of this organized community in dealing with the police commission. So I'll read parts of the letter for you, and several of us will come up as well. Dear commissioners, on behalf of the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition, we write to you with deep concern on the failure of the Los Angeles Board of Police Commission to meaningfully respond to community concerns. The following are some of the recent examples of the commissioner's failures to act upon Los Angeles community concerns. On racial profiling, on January 27, 2015, the OIG released the audit of LAPD suspicious activity reporting program for the fiscal year of 2013 to 2014. The audit revealed disproportionately high numbers of SARs filed on Los Angeles black communities. 30% of the total SARs sent to fusion centers were on blacks, while the city's black population is under 10%. In gender data, black women accounted for 50% of these SARs. The Inspector General insisted that there was zero evidence of racial profiling, and the commission dismissed community concerns and failed to take action. It seems that the framework of the OIG is centered around intent to discriminate or breaches of procedure which require individuals with bad motives to act in discriminatory ways. What the SARS audit makes clear is that without malicious actors or breaches in process, discriminatory results still happen. We can tell this by looking at the impact of the policy. 81% of the total SARS in the January 27th audit were reported by private individuals through the iWatch See Something, Say Something program. Again, highlighting the deeply embedded racial bias also demand through examination under the fear and suspicion of these programs propagate. We demand that the LAPD rescind SARS with immediate effect, including terminating the iWatch See Something, Say Something program. We further demand that the commission launch full investigative hearings and fact-finding on the violation of human and civil rights of people of Los Angeles resulting from these programs.
Sal Sharma, and the following three are Joy T. Chan, Hamid Khan, and Kai Utsumi.
My time started early. Thank you very much. My name is Sal, and I'm here to talk about body cameras. And prior to 2013, I probably would have said body cameras was a good idea, but after watching in 2014 black and brown men die on camera, I no longer think that it's a solution, and I ask you to rethink your position. In 2014, body-worn cameras for police became the subject of much public discussion within the political and media landscape following the non-indictment and the non-arrest of police officers in the killing of Ezell Ford, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and countless other people of color. With conflicting narratives surrounding these high-profile cases of killings of African-American males, as well as mentally ill and homeless individuals being murdered at the hands of law enforcement, body-worn cameras have been advocated as one remedy in holding police accountable and transparency. What proponents would say is an objective documentation of police and community relations. The LAPD started in 2014 a pilot program for body cameras. On January 14th, January 15th, the commission held two community meetings about body cameras. The commission president, Steve Soboroff, opened the comments and said, in 2013, when I probably agreed with your position, that the police said that you had surveyed people knowledgeable about law enforcement, and that it included Councilman Englender and the Police Protective League and the ACLU, and was surprised at how virtually everyone wanted cameras. I say this, that we've always said we wanted to hold the police accountable and monitored. The cameras hold the community monitored. That's it, and accountable. We still have done nothing. What we're asking is that we demand that you rethink the use of body cameras by the LAPD. We also demand an investigation into the acquisition and the financial transactions of this program, and we demand that real public hearings be held so that we can give our side of why we believe. We have over 10 reasons why we believe that body cameras are not the solution for Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Jyoti, and I'm a part of the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition as well. In May of 2014, the LAPD announced that it had received two Dragonfly drones gifted from the Seattle Police Department because in Seattle there was public uproar where community members rose up to demand that these drones not be used due to privacy concerns around privacy rights and police snooping. The desire to acquire drones by LAPD is not news for us. We know that LAPD had already begun to go to Israel in February of 2014, in which it was shopping for drones and other crowd control and surveillance technology devices. At the time that LAPD received these drones from Seattle, Chief Beck made public declaration about seeking community input and also working with the ACLU in developing policy. We know that this is not true. ACLU has denied working with the LAPD, and also there's no record up to date about LAPD seeking community input. In November 16th, Chief Beck was again quoted in LA Times, saying that his staff was meeting with the ACLU to develop policy. Again, the ACLU has denied this and even has issued a public press statement. On September 15th, the commission issued a media statement that LAPD Inspector General had taken possession of these drones and LAPD is meeting with the community to develop policy on drone usage. These actions clearly indicate that earlier statements made by the mayor and also Chief Beck were pretty much smoke and mirror, since as of September 15th, institutionally, LAPD was in possession of drones and their usage was a foregone conclusion, regardless of any claims of seeking community input. In July of 2014, Stop LAPD Spying Coalition began to go out in the community. We've talked to thousands and thousands of people through public surveys, petitions, community outreach activities, and we find overwhelmingly that the community is saying no to these drones. Angelenos are deeply concerned about these drones and reject its usage. We reject the proposed use of drones by LAPD. We demand that LAPD destroy these drones or give them back to their manufacturers.
Thank you. We demand
full public hearings on the militarization of LAPD.
Thank you. Time's up.
And to relinquish the control of such public hearings to the community. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Hamid Khan with the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition. So you've heard about racial profiling and evidence of racial profiling. You've heard about the sham community hearings that were held on body cameras, and you've also heard about the increased militarization that people in Los Angeles are extremely concerned about, which brings me to the last section of the letter that we have delivered you, an 8-page letter, is about an embarrassing time for the city of Los Angeles, and that is the federal consent decree, because we feel we are heading back into the same direction. Consent decrees are basically applied, and I just want to read you something real quickly, that they are imposed on institutions such as the Los Angeles Police Department after they are deemed incapable of self-governance. In this case of LAPD, besides the city, the LA Board of Police Commissioners was also deemed incapable of providing oversight, maintaining transparency, and holding the department accountable. And officially, the language of the consent decree, which is a legally binding document, resulted from a complaint from the U.S. government plaintiffs alleging that the city, the commission, and the LAPD, collectively the city defendants, and I quote, were violating the U.S. Constitution by engaging in a pattern or practice of unconstitutional or otherwise unlawful conduct that has been possible by the failure of the city defendants to adopt proper management practices and procedures. So here we are again, and we have brought to your notice that during the time of the federal consent decree, antennas were sabotaged in areas which are predominantly poor and people of color, 92 out of the 300 patrol cars, and nothing happened. You keep on saying that, you know, well, we don't know who did that, who didn't do it. We never saw a full investigation launch. So now the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition and its partners in the city are constantly coming back to you and shaking you up that, please, you have two choices. Either you continue down this path, which is going to bring us back to another consent decree, another embarrassing moment for the city, and I say embarrassing because it's not just on you. It shows that the people of Los Angeles are asleep as well, and we are not. We are screaming out loudly to you that you should take a path and act as true custodians of public trust that requires fundamental paradigm shift by which the community and not the LAPD is granted total deference. Thank you. And we demand an answer within 2 weeks of this letter. Thank you.
Kai Utsumi, followed by Adam Rice, Tanisha Denard, and Patty Beers.
Morning, sir.
Hello. My name is Kai Utsumi. Public comment is the most important part of a true democratic society. And our public comments over the years have been completely ignored by this commission. I'm against the iWatch because LAPD SARS report is supposed to be against potential terrorists, well, against terrorists, cross the word potential. But it's tossed out. It turned out to be basically racial profiling against the darker skinned people and most probably against political activists like me. I'm against body camera because it's another tool for racial profiling, especially against black and brown youth whose background and culture goes against the grain of white police officers' history of total control over the other people, not like themselves, but not criminals, just different behavior, whose culture they don't understand, and in some cases, their white supremacist attitude.
Thank you. Morning.
I got you, my brother. Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
To sort of continue with Kay's point, so we are told that this SARS program is here to prevent terrorism. And what is terrorism? The dictionary definition of terrorism is the use of force or violence to influence the public discourse or action. So, young man like Ezell Ford walking down the street, stopped by a police officer, a man with a gun, shot in the back by that same police officer, brought before this commission, and nothing has been done. Now, Mr. Inspector General, I don't even know what the point is talking to you anymore, man. Ocaño was killed by police misconduct. Dale Garrett was shot in the back by LAPD. Ezell Ford, shot in the back by LAPD. Unarmed people in a state of terror from an organization that is financed off of our labor, the taxes that come from our work. We expect protection. We are well aware that to protect and serve does not mean us. It means to protect and serve the moneyed interests of this city. But in reality, us as a whole, the people, we are the moneyed interests in this city. We provide everything that runs your organization. And we demand that you protect us instead of terrorists in uniforms.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Tanisha, and I'm against the SARS program. One, because 30% are fought on black people like me, and 50% are on women that are like me. So it's weird that y'all say it's with terrorists, and y'all can't release a report on who these people are. Don't you think if y'all want us to see something, say something, we need to see pictures of people, but y'all can't even report that. So I would urge you and your office to release that report so I can know if I'm on there or any of my peers, my black communities, or my females that I know. Thank you.
The concept of in-car video systems, the concept of in-car video systems was implemented after the beating of Rodney King in 1991, and it's still now an issue of contention. The mayor, then-mayor Vera Grossa and Chief Bill Bratton championed the idea with $5 million allotment for devices in 2008. In 2010, 300 patrol cars were equipped with these video devices, and it took only 3 years for them to be tampered with. How do you expect us to believe you won't tamper with or abuse body cameras? LAPD liar in chief Andrew Smith admitted to the LA Times that there was an inspection conducted of the entire fleet of the Southeast Division and other divisions of South Bureau. The inspection revealed with a total of 160 antennas installed in the Southeast Division, 72 had been removed. 20 antennas from cars in other divisions were missing as well. In essence, 92 out of 300 patrol cars had been sabotaged. LAPD South Borough covers Watts, Jordan Downs, Imperial Courts, and Nickerson Gardens, and other areas where the overwhelming population is poor, working class people of color. Commissioner President Silberhoff, you admitted to the LA Times that you, Chief Beck, had briefed him about the problem in September. 8 months prior to that, you, Commissioner President Silberhoff, acknowledged the violation of public trust, and you not only failed to bring it to the public's attention, but in the meantime, you launched an aggressive campaign to raise private money to equip LAPD officers with body cameras, yet another tool sold to Angelenos to monitor officer misconduct. Further, when this issue was made public in April 15, 2014, you, Police Commissioner Silberhoff, were conveniently absent from that meeting.
Thank you. The final three speakers, Jeff Warner, Esteban Gill, and Suzette Shaw.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Jeff Warner from, I live in the corner of Wilshire and Weston. And I spent 40 years as a scientist in academia, industry, and government. And I'm always interested in the underlying causes. No one wants to have racial profiling. But what we see is that 30% of the SARS reports are on 9% of the population. And that seems wrong. We also see from the Youth for Justice database of police killings of unarmed civilians in the city from 2007 to the end of 2014 that 30% of those people are black also. So somehow there's a three times overkilling of blacks and there's a three times over sorrowing of blacks. I petitioned the Inspector General to use this correlation as a way of maybe understanding what's going on and why this overkilling of blacks and oversorrowing of blacks actually takes place. Thank you very much.
So the last time I worked for the taxpayer was as a student at the University of California. I worked three jobs there during my time. I was a library security guard, I worked in interlibrary lending, and I also worked as a hydration technician for the football team. Of course, the highest paid workers are there, unfortunately, right? Now, the fundamental issue you're hearing here is one of impunity, and specifically impunity of those who are working for the public. This is problematic because it's not some businessman who can afford it paying for it. It's us, and we can't really afford it. Now, when I worked for the Cal football team, I would have to check out a golf cart to drive around the water buckets. And if I decided to have fun with that golf cart and, you know, drive down the hill and speed off up the mountain or whatever, and ending up busted a tire, I'd get fired, and I would have to pay for that tire and that golf cart, etc. If I stole some of the $80 footballs that they had, then I would have to pay for that football and probably be denounced to the, you know, local authorities, etc., etc. But why is it that it's been several months now where dozens of patrol cars were sabotaged, and I've seen no officer's name on the news, I've seen nobody fired, I've seen nobody reprimanded for this? And so, you know, this is that, and you know, this, it almost seems trivial, but it's a pattern of continued impunity that if we allow to continue is going to spiral out of control. So let's please stop with the impunity for police officers. They're paid by us, and they should suffer the consequences if they destroy our equipment.
Suzette Shaw.
Morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And my name is Suzette Shaw. I am a resident of Skid Row, downtown LA, and I am also a member of LACAN, Los Angeles Community Action Network, as well as DWAC, Downtown Women's Action Coalition. I also write for various sources regarding the needs of the residents of my community, especially as the needs relate to women. As a matter of fact, Officer Dion Joseph was recently on my Skid Row radio segment as we discussed domestic violence issues of women in our community. After this show, I was invited to apply for LAPD's Citizens Academy. I was honored for the invitation. However, I find myself in a quandary. Ladies and gentlemen, our people are hurting, and I feel that there's a disconnect between LAPD and the needs of the people in our community, more specifically the black and brown people. I was at the march this weekend that started at Southwest Division LAPD, and I've also been affiliated with as of late with SCLC, and I just want to urge, you know, LAPD to sit at the table more on a regular, maybe weekly, with the folks in the community and get involved and really, you know, be willing to pull your sleeves up and humble yourselves to really get to know us as people, because we are people. We all come with a story, and you actually might find that our stories are very enriched, and you might want to relate to us more clearly if you're able to understand us as people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no other comment cards. We will now go to item number 10, closed session. The Board of Police Commissioners will now recess into closed session to discuss item number 10A1 in accordance with Government Code 54957.